T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And just the attention to detail and the humbleness and do your job and on to the next play.
I'm going to sit here and try to, you know, Ouija board it here this morning.
That is my question. Can Cam Newton handle that day after day after day?
Dale Arnold.
We haven't had a chance to play as a unit throughout camp.
Yo, what's up, guys?
It's up to us to keep talking and keep getting better.
A period of suckitude.
Rich Keefe.
Deep left center field. He got into this one and it is gone.
Thank you. Yeah.
Ding dong. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
Arrabbiata.
What now?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour of Dale and Keefe. Fitzy in for Dale today. Sports Radio WEEI. We got our take that needs a 180 coming up at 1:30.
I'm sure nobody has noticed that Dale isn't here today.
No, it's been...
seamless.
Pretty seamless, I would say. Pretty mm-hmm. professional. Pretty mm-hmm. buttoned up here today. Good job by everybody thus far. Let's finish strong. One hour to go. You can join us at 617-779-7937. And again, today is the opt-out deadline, 4 o'clock, so now less than 3 hours. And the name I think we're all waiting for is Tre'Davious White.
Right.
Because Odell Beckham had made some comments, but then it sounds like he's going to play. Mm-hmm. Devin McCourty, we know, has been very outspoken, but it looks like he's going to play.
As is his brother and James White, a couple guys that had been considered maybe opting out. I don't think, earlier in the show, we all took a guess if we thought any Patriots would opt out by 4 o'clock. All of us said no, except, of course, for Shime.
Yep.
I think that was mostly just to be a contrarian.
I think it was just to cover all our bases.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's probably smart, so then the whole show doesn't look stupid. We got one guy that maybe has a chance to shine here.
Right. And if anyone were to opt out on the Patriots at this point before 4 o'clock, I don't think it would be a player of... I think we've seen all the significant players that are going to opt out, call it a season already.
Sure.
It would just be somebody who's... likely to not make the roster.
Maybe, like they're looking at it, and they're like, you know, you weigh all the factors, and then you also throw in, well, I might not even make the team anyway. And then there
five
you
COVID tests. I'm not sure if I'm going to make the team. I can get this loan against a season. They have 75 players signed right now. They still need to sign. They can bring five more players into
camp. They've slowly started to bring some of those guys back because they cut them all down. Because they had 90, right? And then they cut it down to 80.
Because
they didn't want to do the split squad.
There's only one team in the NFL that's doing the 90-man roster split squad. That's the Lions.
But then, like, Isaiah Zuber just got re-signed. So, like, some of those guys, which we all love.
Which has there ever been a last name that's more ready for the masshole accent?
Zuba.
Hey, talk to Zuba.
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 He had a chance to be a big preseason sensation. Unfortunately, we're not gonna see
him. Who's your hot take for undrafted? Because an undrafted free agent makes it every year.
Oh, yeah.
So, who's it going to be this year?
I don't know. I don't know if...
There's two. I got my eye on two.
You like Will Hastings?
I don't think
there's room there.
No, I think he'll make
Bill Murray.
It's going to be Bill. I think two make it.
Really?
I think Will Hastings. Excuse me. I think.
Yep. Just said
job.
No.
Good job.
You just said no.
Quiet, Anderson. I think two make it. Bill Murray and Jeff Thomas.
Yeah.
Jeff Thomas
like
had early draft pick talent. He just fell all the way through.
What happened?
Character concerns.
Got it.
Character concerns.
Yeah.
Might not be the best guy in the world, but if you've seen any of his college tape,
character concerns led him to being undrafted.
And when's the last time somebody with character concerns?
Out of the state of Florida, was able to, yeah, exactly.
Blew up in the face of the...
One guy who's definitely not going to opt out is Cam Newton, based on all of his videos and all of his excitement. Plus, he has so much to play for. You know, he's got a cheap deal. We'll get to his contract here in a second. But his offensive coordinator for a couple years in Carolina, well, really, what? How many games? Because...
He was great through 8, and then he labored through 14 18. Total.
Yeah.
But he was not the same after the Thursday night football game where TJ Watt blasted his right shoulder.
Correct. So Norv Turner was that offensive coordinator, and he his best completion percentage season was with Norv Turner, and Turner was doing an interview on Sirius Radio talking about Cam Newton.
The biggest thing, I think, if I could look into the minds of New England and Coach Belichick, and when they looked at Cam, I'm sure they looked at, number one, when he was playing well. And obviously that was the first half of two seasons ago through a 10-game stretch. His numbers were awfully good, and he was playing at a high level. And, you know, I think the shoulder was an issue, and it kept him from doing the things at the end of the season that he'd been doing. So I'm sure they looked at the things he was doing that were similar to what they do. And, you know, we, with Christian, with DJ Moore, with Greg Olsen, we were doing, you know, the things that are pretty much being done by a lot of teams in the league, similar to, you know, the high percentage things, the crossing routes, getting the receivers on the run, you know, the option routes with Christian, which are things that are very similar to what New England does and which a lot of people do in the league. It's just how you package it and who you do it with. So I'm sure they looked at those things.
Yeah, I mean, right. I would assume so. And that's one of the things, because everybody's like, oh, well, he was the MVP in 15. And they kind of take it all the way back to 15 right. to when he was really good. And you're like, well, yeah, he was the MVP, and that was the Super Bowl year. But in 18, and I think it's important, too, because it was a change of offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same team. Because yep. Everybody's like, oh, is he going to be able to pick up the playbook? It's like, yeah, I think he can. Yeah. I think he can pick up the playbook.
Fauria has said that time and again, yeah. that the Patriots playbook is not nearly as difficult as everyone thinks it is. It's mostly just that when you play with Brady, his reads and reading the leverage and, you know, scouting out the defense, that's what made it more complex. But it's still a playbook.
Right. And so in 2017, the year before Norv Turner got there, he completed 59% of his passes. And then with Norv Turner the next year, he completed 68%.
Mm-hmm.
So a big jump. Now, again, you can kind of debate that because earlier in his career, the completion percentage was lower, but he would also take more chances down the field. You're going right. to get more big plays. He had 4,000 yards passing as a rookie. He had 35 touchdowns in 2015. So you can kind of talk yourself into either side of that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, but some of the idea of like, oh, well, he's not an accurate passer, and you just strictly look at the completion percentage can be a little misleading because
yes.
everybody's offense is a little bit different. Like, is Drew Brees the most accurate passer in the history of the league, or do they just run quick, short passes to Thomas and Kamara the whole game?
Yeah, he's a damn good passer. He's pretty
He's really
passer.
Good, but my point really is, like, if you told a couple other quarterbacks to only run it that way, I bet they would also have a 65-70% completion
right.
percentage.
But they also, like, there were days where he was, you know, Reggie Bush was in for Alvin Kamara, and they had different receivers in.
I mean,
Drew Brees, guy, he's been there for 14 years.
It's crazy.
Time.
Yeah.
Remember the good old days of Jeremy Shockey on the Saints?
Yes, I do.
Yes, indeed, I do.
Yes, so, I do. Joe Horn?
Yep. Oh, man, nothing will ever top pulling the cell phone out of them.
That was one of the greats.
That was one of the great celebrations. So Cam Newton can obviously operate in, you know, not a West Coast offense, but something that's a bit more precise. Now, some will then say, well, this is more a byproduct of having Christian McCaffrey, and anyone can look good throwing the ball to Christian McCaffrey.
The reality is McCaffrey was good. McCaffrey was great last year.
Yes.
Where
he was good in 2018.
He was good the year before.
Incredible last year.
He was incredible last year, and Cam only played with him for two games.
Did Kyle Allen all of a sudden turn into the greatest quarterback?
Yeah.
No, he had a couple of good games, but ultimately he proved himself to be Kyle Allen.
And I think
now he's in Washington.
Again, James White and Julian Edelman are not McCaffrey, but some of those same routes are going to be run by those two guys who
correct.
Are pretty shorthanded, and I think Cam can have success throwing to those guys.
But I think if you sort of lump the two of them together, like there wasn't a receiver who runs as precise a route and gives him the availability and the quick open burst that Edelman does. Like, okay, Curtis Samuel started proving himself last year. DJ Moore, he's good too.
Right, yeah.
But it was McCaffrey made up for a lot of that.
Yeah.
So like you say, when you add James White, who somehow finds a way to scoot his way to being open 4 to 6 yards down mm-hmm. the field, and the way Edelman does, that's something that he's never had before. The rookie tight ends, I don't know what the hell you're going to get out of those guys as well. But I think you'll see them use Rex Burkhead more this year, too. This is the last year I think he'll probably play.
He could stay on the field.
I know, because that man looks like, it looks like he's going to break every single time he plays. Because he plays like an absolute madman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that he can get back to where he was in that first half of 2018?
I do. Yeah, I'm all in on Cam Newton. I think he absolutely can. I think the motivation is a factor. And everyone's like, well, they're all motivated. They're all highly paid. Blah blah blah. Like, there is something to it.
Yes.
Like, I think he's been counted out by the league. He's never been counted out by the league. He got backlash in 15 for not diving on the fumble in the Super Bowl, but he was still the reigning MVP.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody thought he sucked. They just thought maybe he didn't give the best effort on that one particular play.
And then he called it a business decision because he thought he could have gone down there. And that was not the best thing to say.
He didn't handle that well.
Nope.
But again, the guy went from being the number one overall pick to all these rookie records to an MVP 5 years later, and he's the face of the franchise. Now, all of a sudden, they're like, yeah, we're done with you. And the whole league let him sit there. The whole league did for months. So I think he can't wait to shove it up everybody's tailpipe.
Right.
And I think he's going to be really good. He's got a lot to prove.
Yes, he does. And he's the one who said that this season wasn't about money, that this was about proving himself. Mm-hmm. Next year to Cam Newton, I believe, is the year that's going to be about money. Because if he plays well to really well, if not takes the Patriots to the playoffs, which is something I think a lot of us weren't content with them going 6-10, 7-9, or just saying like, okay, fine, it's a wash year because it's the year post Brady.
Yeah.
But if he can actually make them a relevant and competitive team immediately again, then Cam Newton is going to get paid, and he's going to get paid a lot of money next year.
I agree.
But what I'm not into is paying him now.
Yeah, which leads us into
Greg Bedard's
article here.
Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, who's been one to say something that, I don't know, some, if not many, if not most fans disagree with on a regular basis.
My favorite take of his was that Philip Dorsett should demand a trade because he was too good to be the third or fourth receiver. He said that was a real thing.
Bedard and I have met up many a time before. Yeah. We get along great. I think he's a super dude.
When you got to do that caveat.
However,
I'm
about to say this is one of the dumbest things that I've read.
So dumb.
Now, this is not nearly as dumb as Rob Gronkowski. Don't see it. Remember that famous take of his?
Oh, yeah.
That was bad.
That was a tweet. That still gets resurfaced all the time.
Yes. This is both an article and a tweet. At Greg Bedard, 11:08 a.m. this morning, Patriots should do the right thing and adjust Cam Newton's contract eventually. And I think they will. And then there's an article on Boston Sports Journal.
All right. So why
do you need to?
You don't. You signed this. He signed it. You agreed to it. The whole thing isn't a part. He played two games last year. Let's see how healthy he is. Instagram videos can only do so much. Mm-hmm. Even these workouts right now can show you so much.
Sure.
We're going to find out on the field. And guess what? By week 4, week 5, week 6, I still don't think you need to re-sign him then. Mm-hmm. I think you play the season out. It doesn't make any sense to throw him more money. Why? Just because you freed some up with all these opt-outs?
Yes. And you could see it on the All-22.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
So, I understand. Now, maybe Cam Newton was a little upset when a week after he signed, they finished those grievances with Aaron Hernandez
and Brett.
So they freed up some money, and they're like, well, how come I didn't have this money?
You guys had to have known about that. You scoundrels, you lowballed me.
Well, his agent probably should have known about it.
Yeah, that's
we talked about it off and on. We're like, all right, what's the cap space look like? Oh, they still got to figure out what this is with Brown, even with Hernandez, because I mean, maybe the agent doesn't follow it as closely, but like when the documentary came out, we were talking about like actually they still are getting kind of penalized for that contract.
You're right,
like,
and
so
you saw the Victor Cruz video where he's hanging out, looking like he was going on a hunt or like or just played tennis, and he was like with the fancy hat, drinking the Cabernet.
Hello.
And
sharp.
He was
does.
I love those outfits.
Oh, no problem.
I love them.
Love
I celebrate the entire catalog.
Mm-hmm.
He can pull it off. Would look a little different on us, but he can pull it off.
A little different.
But he said he was surprised that when his agent contacted him and said, oh, actually, there's one team that's interested. It's the Patriots. Like, how am I and Belichick going to
mesh? How is me and Belichick going to mesh?
How's me and Belichick?
And then Odell was like, you're in the greatest spot ever. He's like, please take me.
Yeah, can I come?
He's like, can I please show up? I think he's going to be so focused on this season. And you know what? If he's upset with the Patriots at all.
You're out.
Wait a minute. That sound means a player in the NFL has decided to opt out of the upcoming season. Let's go to the opt-out desk with Chris Schein.
Per Tom Pelissero, once again.
Is it the only guy you follow?
And actually,
Twitter?
The Jacksonville Jaguars have tweeted this out. Jacksonville Jaguars cornerback Rashawn Melvin has informed the club that he is voluntarily opting out for the 2020 season.
Rashawn Melvin. Now, I'm going to remind Patriots fans who Rashawn Melvin is. Rashawn Melvin was a cornerback for the Ravens years ago. I think he may have had a cup of coffee with the Patriots, too, at one point. But
yeah,
Melvin was
Patriot,
the cornerback.
2015 with the Pats.
Okay. In 2014, Melvin was on the Ravens. He was the cornerback, I believe, that was picked on time and again by Brady in that epic comeback in the division round. Edelman threw the ball over his head to get it to Amendola, and there's a famous picture of him trying to tackle Gronk and pulling down his pants to reveal Gronk's buttocks. I'm not kidding.
So Rashawn Melvin gets bullied and then opts out amid COVID.
Correct. So he is
Not a significant player. Not Tre'Davious White.
That's the one we're waiting on.
Yeah, he allowed 12 catches on 15 passes thrown his way in that game for 224 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Right now, somewhere, Doug Marrone is like, oh, thank God.
How do you not, after like the 7th or 8th catch, pull your hamstring?
Yeah.
Or say you pull your hamstring.
Right.
And kind of hobble off the field and be
Coach
like,
Coach, I tore my junk. I'm out.
Guys, I don't have it today.
Yeah, I don't.
I just don't have it. They're picking on me.
Quarterback rating against him last year, by the way, when he played for Detroit, 104.1.
But this.
Come on, so
guys.
He's not good.
This was a family decision.
Yeah.
He
family
was not
decision.
Gonna get
voluntary
cut.
Opt out. Would you. Table the Cam thing real quick,
yeah.
But since we're on cornerbacks and opting out. Are you actively rooting for Tre'Davious White to opt out? Because I'm
No. Because I think, you know, one of the concerns was when basketball and hockey and to a lesser extent baseball were all returning, and you started to hear players kind of deciding whether they're going to opt in or opt out. The football's a little bit different because they're going to try to play 16 games or whatever, but the whole idea of is it a legitimate title? Is it a sham season? What are we doing? And if you have all these star players opt out, it's hard not to think it's a sham season.
Right.
Basketball and hockey aren't. Like, the top guys are all playing in both sports.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of the really good players who opted out in basketball were on bad teams anyway. Like, Bradley Beal's on a bad team. Didn't really matter. But in football, yeah, I want to keep it to kind of the no-names or maybe some of the older guys. So then at the end of the year, you're like, the teams that won legitimately won.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not – you don't want to second-guess it and say – well, if the Bills had Tre'Davious White, maybe they're a little bit better. Like,
that's
no, let them
bad.
Have him. Let
yeah.
him beat the Bills
you
with
beat
Tre'Davious
him at their
White.
Best. Yeah. Yes,
that's what I want. So I hope all the best players play.
Baseball season is an abbreviated, if not now, messy novelty.
Yeah.
And these are fractured restarts for the NHL and the NBA. The one sports league that has a chance to be able to play a proper season because we haven't had any significant stars go out besides. Hightower, two, three, four maybe players so far that are really impactful.
Hightower's a really good player, but I don't think you're going to look back on the season and say, 2020 would have been different had he played.
Right.
Or CJ Mosley, who he didn't even play last year.
He's collected like $40 million from the Jets and he's played 2 games. Plus, yeah. Avery Williamson, who's a great coverage linebacker who they had signed as a free agent from the Titans, recovered from ACL surgery, so he'll be playing this year. So the Jets defense will be just as mediocre.
But
as
if you
last
go
year.
To the extreme, and if Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson opted out, you would say, all right, well, big time asterisk. Like, you're like, the Chiefs probably would have won again, or whatever. You could talk yourself into whatever you want.
Sure.
But to this point, and again, the 4 o'clock is the deadline today, then I think it's going to be, again, even if there's no fans or a percentage of fans or whatever, it's going to be, if they can play through 16 games, you're going to get a real champ.
Yeah, now back to what we were saying about the Cam Newton. There is no reason why, you know, what Bedard said, that they should pay him eventually because, of course, yes, he agreed to the deal. He knew what he was getting into. If anything, I can't believe I'm actually going to agree with Chris Curtis from The Morning Show on this, but Cam Newton's incentives are attainable if the Patriots do well, if not reach the playoffs. Go deep.
No,
in the
a
playoffs.
Lot of his
most of them are actually performance based for the team,
and a lot of them are just show up.
Yeah,
be healthy.
Right.
Show one up, of them is like 90% of snaps.
Take 90% of the snaps. You get
so
a couple
if you're
million
healthy,
bucks.
You're getting a few million.
Go
bucks.
To the playoffs, you get some more money. So if anything,
they're all achievable. Well, the one is like make the Super Bowl, I think. But other than that, like there's a good. What did we say? Good chance he's gonna make like
seven and a half total, but five seems attainable.
Okay.
So
still
Curtis
a lot
had
of money,
posited
though.
That it's, oh, it's not a lot
still,
of money for somebody who's an
quarterback,
MVP. For a starting quarterback
that's
in the league,
not a lot of money.
Considering Mariota's getting $7.5 million to do nothing
right.
But have COVID jokes played by his coach in Las Vegas.
But let's play it out. Let's say
Chase Daniels getting $7 million.
Now, let's go to kind of an extreme. If they're 8-0 and he's healthy and looks good and he wants a new contract, do you give it to him then?
If he wants an extension,
yes.
If he's like, I want to stay. Let's talk. I'm gonna the only way I'll take $25 million a season from you guys right now. But if you know I go to market, I might get more.
Right, because I think that's what would happen. It's like I'm trending like I'm going to be able to make more. But yes. If you guys want to lock me up right now, that might be the one time I do sign him during the season. Because I think he can be the future quarterback. I don't think this is a 1 year like a Darrell Revis mercenary thing. No. I think because they don't. Again, and not to relive all the Stidham conversation again, but I don't think they really know what the future quarterback's going to be. So for the next 4 years, it's Cam Newton. Great.
You can get a starter, let alone an excellent starter in the NFL, is incredibly difficult to find.
Right.
This is they're anomalous. It doesn't just work out that one who's a former MVP lands in your lap, you know, rebuilt, hopefully still healthy, and willing to play for less than no money. And could possibly give you a sneak peek or a hometown discount. Now, he probably won't take a real hometown discount. But if mid to late season, you're so happy with him, he likes it here, and you guys can work out something that benefits both sides so he gets the long-term security that he wants, and the Patriots get a starting quarterback for a couple of years, and you could still... Look, what if Cam Newton plays 3-4 seasons for the Patriots? You put Stidham on the... What was previously the Garoppolo, what's better known as the Aaron Rodgers track. Aaron Rodgers started one game for 4 years and then comes in 2008, and the guy's a revelation. You don't have to just throw Stidham out there right now. He's not in a position where he's Gardner Minshew and they have no better alternative.
No,
yeah,
nobody else. No. Right. And I also just wonder, you know, because part of it, everyone's like, oh, well, Cam Newton's thinking, oh, the Patriots only gave me, you know, $1 million guaranteed. It's like, that's still one more than every other team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, so even if you're mad
They're
at the Pats,
the
aren't you
team.
Still mad at everybody else? Yeah. Nobody wanted you.
That was what he was saying in the Victor Cruz video.
Yeah.
Like how, you know, like, they're, you know, they're getting a dog this season because he's going to be mad. That team passed on me.
I think he's going to be so solely focused on that. Plus, he's not a guy that, you know, like Jameis Winston maybe. A guy who hasn't hit the payday yet. Like Cam Newton's made a lot of money.
He
so
has.
It's not like he was this great rookie, great second, great third year player, and then fizzled out and then nobody wanted him. Like, he's had a whole extra contract over Jameis Winston. So the idea of, like, I need to collect every single penny for this particular season, I think he's going to be okay with.
You're getting one of these ticked off dogs.
Now, you're not getting them for free next year, that's for sure. And I wonder what it would be like if they franchised him, which was also part of the contract that came out. Now, it's a lot of money, but it's
I'd
also
be okay
1 year.
With that.
Because
I would rather they not. I would rather they not. He may not be as well, but at the same time, if he says, "All right, last year I played, I ended up making $6 million. This year they're giving me $33 million, so that's 39. So I made $19.5 million apiece the last two seasons. That's pretty good money. I could live on that.
I could.
I could pretty much find a way to. I'm pretty sure I could find a way to live on that.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad money.
All right, when we come back, we have our take that needs a 180, and it does involve Cam Newton. So we'll do that coming up next.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI. Psycho
killer. But Josh Allen, they're never out of a game or in a tough situation because of them. Now he can put them in some tough situations too.
Rivers can win you games. He can. Now he can also lose them. Bridgewater is not going to win you any games, but he's not going to lose you any games either.
All right, it's our psycho killer, Chris Sims. Time now for our take that needs a 180, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you've been waiting for in-person weekly coaching, you're in luck. All Awaken 180 locations have reopened and are accepting new clients. Awaken180weightloss.com. So, Fitzy, we have Chris Sims, Mike Florio, talking Cam Newton.
When Belichick tears into Cam Newton, I guess the first question is, will he? The second question is, if he does, how will Cam Newton deal with it? Because Kyle Love seems to think that Cam Newton was a little coddled by Ron Rivera and the Panthers coaches.
Yeah, well, I think that's the sentiment around the NFL, is that he was, you know, in Carolina. He was the first pick of the draft. He's super talented. You know, he won some games single-handedly, you know, with his pure ability. At most places, what that tends to lead to is a guy kind of becoming the king of that team, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, oh, hey, man, he shows up on Sunday. He's ready to go, blah, 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 right? You know, so then, yes, you know, naturally from there, when you're one of your best players, coaches, the organization, they're very sensitive into making sure that player feels good on a daily basis. That's my biggest concern up in New England.
What? Wait, he gets paid for that?
Wait, what?
That made no sense.
What? Does the take need a 180 or is the whole...
Chris Sims needs a 180.
The whole thing.
You know, oh, hey, man, he shows up on Sunday.
Right.
Yep, that's the idea.
Hopefully, see, in order to play, occasionally.
In order to play and win the game, you have to show up on Sunday. That's
so
when
his
them.
Point is that I thought the point that might even need the 180 is at the beginning, where was it Florio that said Cam Newton, you know, how will he respond if Belichick rips into him? Will Belichick rip into him? You think Belichick's going to like hold his tongue for somebody now?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think Belichick's going to coach him up just fine.
He's probably not going to coddle him. He's not going to treat him differently. He's not going to give him $5 extra million now because he feels bad.
Yeah.
Last I checked, Cam Newton hadn't even been named officially the starter for the Patriots.
No, not yet.
Why treat him as anything other than a player who came in on a prove-it deal to try and win a job on this football team?
And if he was coddled in Carolina, that's Carolina's problem.
Okay.
That's his fault. Oh, yeah. I guess he got coddled all the way to a Super Bowl one year.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, I suppose 5 years into his career.
When you have a generational talent who is the cornerstone face and most important player in your franchise's history, aren't you going to maybe coddle him a little bit? Or is like Ron Rivera is not Bill Belichick, so
no.
Maybe they'll treat him a little. Like treating someone differently isn't necessarily coddling.
No, because I think each guy needs to be coached a little bit different. You can get more out of players by some guys respond to being yelled at. Some guys don't. Some guys just shut down.
Right. And that's the thing that drives me craziest about how people perceive the way Bill Belichick coaches the Patriots, that it's got to be all frump and dowdy and that he's only angry and he only yells at people, that God forbid the man people perceive to be the greatest coach in NFL history knows how to coach individual players differently. Like everyone just thinks Belichick's just grumpy all the time and just yells at people. That's all he does.
I think it's
that he's just a
different.
Total hard ass.
Right.
He coaches everyone differently. He does whatever he needs to do. And my favorite thing that I've heard this year about Bill Belichick, Mina Kimes from ESPN described Bill Belichick as schematically agnostic.
Well,
you know,
she got away with words.
Very nice way with words.
Yeah, well
but
said.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that's his approach to scheme is game plan offense, game
100%.
Plan defense. They'll do whatever they need to do, play the line or flood it with as many defensive backs as possible to freak you out.
It's like actual coaching.
Yes.
Other guys are like, this is what we do. I don't care who we're playing. We're playing the 85 Bears or we're playing, you know, the winless Lions. We're going to do everything the same. Like, it doesn't matter
Marty
what
Ball. That's how Marty Schottenheimer coached, and that's why he was a great regular season
coach. This is the play that we run.
You're terrible like, postseason
coach. Well, they're pretty good at stopping the run, so maybe try something else.
How'd you guys figure that out? Oh, you do it every game.
We are allowed to watch your previous games. You're not sneaking up on anybody, so that's been one of the issues. We have a little bit more from Florio and Sims here on Cam.
Can he handle the everyday, you know, rigors of the NFL with the New England Patriots? And that is, yes, nobody being a cheerleader for you, and you make a 20-yard out throw, and they just go, you know, good throw, Cam. It's not like, all right, way to go. Oh, hey, whoa, did you see that throw, everybody? It's not going to be none of that. You know, when you mess up, it's going to be pointed out in front of the whole team, and there's going to be some constructive criticism that goes with that. I don't think he's going to cuss out Cam Newton like he did Brady quite yet. He's probably going to get to know the guy. But between that and just the attention to detail and the humbleness and do your job and on to the next play, that is my question. Can Cam Newton handle that day after day after day? Because like you said, it kind of melted Chad Johnson, Albert Haynesworth.
So there we go. Now we're at the take that needs the 180. My God. So now Cam Newton is Chad Johnson or Albert Haynesworth. Chad Johnson was cooked. There was no more talent left in him.
He was washed.
And he couldn't figure out the playbook.
Right.
So now you're saying Cam Newton won't be able to figure out the playbook? Albert Haynesworth was also a super lazy player his entire career.
Uh-huh.
He had a monster year. Oh, coincidentally cashed in the next year and then quit. Just didn't want to play. So he didn't even make it through the whole year. Chad Johnson made it through the year just because Belichick liked him, but he sucked. He didn't play.
He was open on every play
good
in Super
throw,
Bowl.
Cam.
And also Cam Newton,
46.
I think some of the guys too that have gotten Belichick fatigue didn't get it necessarily after a year. Tom Brady was here for 20 years. Gronk was here for 9.
Yep.
I think that's a much bigger thing than Cam Newton on his own kind of revenge tour.
Right.
That he can't take tough coaching of a sudden.
And even though he said now, you know, how's me and Belichick going to get along? How are we going to mesh? Like, well, you'll find out, but you probably, I would say maybe through like television or coaching the rumor mill and new media, have seen how Bill Belichick operates. So you kind of knew what you were getting into in the first place.
Well, he did. And he agreed with it. But I think his first reaction was, how's it going to mesh? And then when Odell Beckham was kind of telling him, he's like, no, like actually,
it's a great place
he's going to be perfect.
It's going to like, also, I would like to go with you.
I'm like, please. I'll play for the
Bucks. I've thought for the longest time, even though I wasn't so sure the Pats would be interested in Cam Newton because, you know, signing him late, and I wasn't so sure how accurate he was or whatever. But I've always been one who like believes in whatever Belichick and McDaniels want to do. As a fanboy, I mean, I'll follow them to the end of the football world. But at this point, you have to see Belichick needs desperately or wants very much to prove that it wasn't just Brady who carried his water all these years,
right.
who saved the team, and that Belichick was carrying Brady's water. And Cam Newton, like you said, is in FU mode. He's on a revenge tour.
Mm-hmm.
This is a mutually beneficial relationship that should play out damn near perfectly so long as Cam Newton is healthy this season.
And I think, again, if you're looking at personalities or you know, maybe go to Randy Moss if you want to, and you're like, oh, how's that going to work out? Oh, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
Or even guys, like Belichick has done this, not at the quarterback position just because he hasn't had to, but he'll take guys that were first or second round picks from other teams, and maybe they didn't work out or whatever it was, and then he gets them at a cheap deal,
mm-hmm.
brings them in like Kyle Van Noy or whoever, and they end up being really, really good here.
Yep.
And so I think they're going to be in lockstep.
Maybe not Cassius Marsh?
No, Cassius Marsh, not great, but I think for a year, it's without question going to work. It's just a matter of, all right, after that, okay, maybe money does get in the way or maybe certain things get in the way after a year. But for a year, I feel like it's the perfect
combination. But can't we just get there first? Isn't that like the most Boston media thing? Like, quick, there's going to be a problem. Or we perceive that down the line, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
So let's proactively bitch about it now as opposed to hoping they can even get the season started,
right.
Let alone finding out if he's going to be even proved to be worth what they signed him for, well, or if he can still play the damn position.
And Sims and Florio were also referencing Kyle Love, former Patriot, former mm-hmm. Panther. And he seems to be the one guy that doesn't think it's going to be a good fit.
Right.
Sounds like a scorned lover, perhaps.
Yep.
Maybe from on both sides.
I remember he was a little disappointed when the Patriots cut him. Thought it could have been, he may have been fat shamed on the way out the door.
He did. Does he have diabetes? Or
I believe
he have?
So.
Is that what it was?
I believe so.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe he's just like, because everybody else thinks it's going to be a really good fit. Other coaches, former players, former whatever. I mean, well, we'll obviously have to wait and see. But I mean, we can use Sims as the 180 take, just really about any week.
Aren't his I thought this was like a weekly spot where you guys just make fun of Chris Sims' takes.
No, I mean,
is that
it's
too easy?
Turned into it.
Usually
yeah.
it used to be Wiggy, but a few weeks ago it flipped.
Yeah. Wiggy and Sims are kind of their dominant.
You know, hey, man, he shows up on Sunday.
I don't trust.
I hope that he does.
I don't trust anyone who wears all of their shirts buttoned up to the top collar without a tie.
What is that?
That's the Chris Sims look.
It's serial killer.
It is.
It's a serial killer move. I'm surprised it's not like Chris Rudolph Sims. Or yeah. This is our Chris Sims music.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, 100%.
The official Chris Sims music. It's out. And then he has a show called Chris Sims Unbuttoned, which is
it's his podcast.
The dumbest name ever because
he's all the way buttoned.
He records it fully buttoned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You know who Chris Sims is a big fan of?
Who's that?
Marty Jannetty.
How do you like that?
Murderer.
Tying it all together. Multiple murders.
Fogarty.
We believe.
Is he alive, by the way? Did we check?
According to his Wikipedia page, actually, somebody killed him.
I
don't know who it was. But
Was it our pal Dice?
It might have been Dice.
I have
Twitter.
No idea.
Might have been Dice.
I like a creative. You know what? A creative audience is an engaged audience.
We have what else you got coming up next, including the greatest cover band ever and some big movie news. We got that on the way next.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, wrapping things up here on Dale and Keefe. Fitzy in for Dale, as he will be tomorrow as well. So let's get to the stuff that we missed.
What else you got?
John Anderson, what do you have?
So Disney Plus is taking a venture into the video on demand department this September. On the 4th, will release Mulan on Disney Plus. The catch, $30.
All right, let me stop you right there. I don't like it, and here's why.
Why?
Disney Plus is already a
That's exactly what I think too.
Paid service. I'm paying, I think, $69, nice, for the year. And
oh,
now
you,
I gotta,
oh, you did the lump
I did the year.
Year.
I paid
nice.
It for the year, which honestly seems like a mistake right now. They don't have a lot of new material. Some of it's not their fault. Some of it is. And basically, I paid all that money for season one of The Mandalorian. But anyway, to now you're like, hey, Mulan is coming out for $30 too is the other thing.
Well, Disney
that's
Plus
way too much.
If you got like a group of four people, or Fitzy, if you've got like you, your wife, your kids, that's a different story.
And well, that's exactly what we'll do.
But I'm going to be alone in my bedroom watching it. So
right,
you're better off.
I didn't
just
need
watching
to know that.
The
you
animated
said alone.
One. The animated one is always going to be 1,000
right.
times better
hold
because
on.
This
that's
new one's
not the argument.
Not
though,
even
going
to have not even going to have Mushu.
Forget it.
Wait, hold on. Wait.
We don't have Mushu.
First of all, it's not a musical.
Here comes.
I'll make a man out of you, Fitzy, and I will do it right now.
I was just gonna say. I was just gonna whisper into your ear, like get a man made out of you. Ready? I'm surprised John Anderson doesn't have that song. You will.
Colting Weaver.
This isn't what it's about. So regardless,
let me consult my Disney song soundboard I have in front of me.
All right. Regardless of whether or not you want to see this Mulan, the question is: would you say you're paying for Netflix or you're paying for Disney Plus, and then they're like, "Hey, we have a movie that's gonna be on our service, but you have to pay $30 additional for it"?
Absolutely not, especially for a trash movie.
No, it's not. You're hung up on the movie. You're really hung up on the movie.
No, I'm just saying in general, any trash movie I would do it for.
All right, guys, hold on.
Oh, my God.
All right, John.
What if Tenet came out? Tenet came out.
Nah, I'm good.
Well, okay.
But it came out on Netflix.
I'd pay like $100 for Tenet.
No,
but
I know.
You won't. This is the, guys, we need this model to work. I hate to say it. We need, first of all, Disney Plus. Disney just lost $5
billion. Plus owes us the subscriber money. They owe us money and content. They don't have anything. All right, great. You guys can do that on your own time. I'm telling you right now.
Out of business to defeat the Huns.
I'm telling you right now. Disney Plus is not giving us enough content, so they should sweeten the deal.
But you knew this going into it, that you were mostly paying for, like, Mickey Mouse's Clubhouse, The Mandalorian, and
they do have a new Muppet
Star
show.
War,
I'm watching the new Muppet show.
Right. Get a new Muppet show. You've got unlimited access to the Disney catalog and all the Marvel movies Star Wars.
They were supposed to have Winter Soldier or Falcon and Winter Soldier out this August. It's not. They're supposed to have another Marvel show out this winter, and they're not. You got. I'm telling you.
You guys haven't watched Gallery, the making of The Mandalorian.
It must be nice to make the money where you can just throw $30 at any of these movies that come out.
I don't like it. I hate this model.
If you bought a DVD to own for the rest of your life, it would be like $10.
But this is simulating the movie experience. Well, you know what? All right, you know what? Rich, John Anderson, Chime, you guys all just lost your invitations because I bought the drive-in screen and the projector, and I was going to invite you guys over for the Mulan premiere. You're out.
Shoot.
Why did I lose my invitation?
I don't know.
Because I don't.
For the way you screwed that poll up earlier, a 5-minute poll.
5-minute poll. You ever heard of that?
A 5-minute poll.
What else you got?
It's a. Well, I'm not done with this one yet.
I was done with you. Was the issue there?
What else you got?
Well, all right. Well, here's what else I have on your Mulan for $30 thing. We need this to work. Trolls World Tour was supposed to come out in theaters. They didn't have a platform to release it on. They charged $20 for it. 5 million people rented it the first weekend, so the movie, which cost a lot of money to make and animate, made the money back.
These are different topics. These are different
Disney
topics.
Disney lost $5 billion.
Oh, please. They'll make it back. Here's my problem. I have no problem with video on demand.
It cost $200 million to make Mulan. They don't deserve to just eat it.
Well, they're not eating it. It's a paid subscription service
to
Disney
Plus.
Yeah, video
on demand is fine. I paid to watch Invisible Man.
So did I.
Because it was great.
$20. I'll pay for that.
But if you're going to put it on a service that we're already paying for, what is the point of paying for
the
service?
It's their portal. Why wouldn't they place it on their portal? They're not going to put it on Hulu.
But for free. Netflix didn't make you pay extra for Extraction or pay extra for Irishman or extra for Marriage Story. Those were all part of the Netflix subscription.
So they had this movie ready to go in theaters. They should cut their losses for you.
Yes, Disney Plus stinks.
That's what happens with the pandemic. We've all been cutting our losses.
They have six. By the way, they are the most subscribed. Thanks to The Mandalorian, they're the most subscribed to premium service in the country with 60 million.
And guess what? If you threw Mulan on there, even more people would subscribe to it.
Wow. I thought this was going to break the model. I thought this was going to be the new way to watch movies. I want Top Gun Maverick on there. I want Tenet on there. I'll pay $30 for those right now.
Yeah, we're arguing different things.
What else you got?
All right, fine.
You don't understand video on demand versus Disney Plus.
God damn it. I do. I just have different feelings.
All right,
fine.
You have something to
Speaking
say?
Speaking of which, on the Disney Plus platform.
This is the way.
That's right.
This is the way.
You're damn right it is.
All right.
According to Greg Hill's burner account at Star Wars Stuff.
That's him.
The Mandalorian Season 2 trailer is expected to drop during the NBA playoffs on ABC on either August. I gotta let this play out. It's so good.
Bring back Mulan.
All right, thank you. So either August 21st or 22nd, for those of you who are as big a fan of the hit of the year and the Emmy-nominated series for Best Drama, The Mandalorian, the trailer for Season 2 will likely premiere August 21st or 22nd. Now, those dates aren't by accident. That's when the Star Wars celebration for all of us turbo nerds was supposed to happen. That was canceled. Hashtag pandemic.
Yep, everything's
canceled. Hashtag don't tell Jeffrey.
Yep.
So
Drake. Hashtag finally, RIP Fogarty.
Finally, that one pays off.
Bingo.
From 10:02.
So they're going to do it because obviously there's synergy. The basketball games are on ESPN
Disney,
and ABC.
ABC ESPN.
It's a whole Disney
it's
thing.
It's a whole thing.
How good do you, now season one was such a surprise. How good do you think season two is going to look? Are you going to be so starved for it because it's the only new thing we have coming this
yes,
fall?
There's going to be a bit of that. But the way season one ended, they're in a great opportunity for season two to be even better. I can't wait.
And
I'm
do pumped. You know that if you were like me and John Anderson and you watched the new series on Disney Plus that you were pissing and moaning about a minute ago, I went to say bitching and pissing and I said bissing. I apologize.
You did. It's a new thing.
Hashtag don't tell Jeffrey. Gallery showed you that The Mandalorian is not shot on location.
No, I saw. That's I watched that the gallery thing. The whole, pretty crazy.
It's wild.
How and they, I'm how also that, just so, in for anything with Giancarlo Esposito.
Yes,
he's the man.
The man.
He is tremendous. Yeah. Might be the best television villain I've ever seen.
Moff Gideon.
Love
Can't
it.
Wait for season
Can't
two.
Can't wait for the Dark Sword. Give me Dark Sword, yes. Johnny.
I have spoken.
What else you got,
Shime?
So, I don't know if you guys saw this going on Twitter recently, but there was a bunch of hackings of very high-profile people requesting Bitcoin payments and such. Well,
what gave it away? Oh, the Bitcoin request.
the hacker was in court, and they were having a Zoom court hearing. And, of course, his Zoom court hearing was then hacked, and there was a lot of hardcore porn on the court Zoom.
Nice.
So I found that very ironic.
Do we have audio of the hardcore porn?
Let's play some.
No, I think I'm pretty sure that is against us.
Just play a little.
If you
bit.
Want that? Tune into the OnlyFans. All right.
All right. Rich.
All right.
What else you got?
No, I found this on the internet. This is a wanted sign, a wanted poster. You know, there's a lot of cover bands out there. This is a very specific cover band that's looking for a bassist. It says, bassist wanted for Korn and Smash Mouth cover band. Here are the details. We're a cover band that strictly plays Korn and Smash Mouth songs, and we're looking for a bassist. Requirements, positive mental attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrates Korn and Smash Mouth's entire catalog. We don't just play Freak on a Leash and All Star, but like obviously we play those two LMAO. Owns a bass.
Mm-hmm.
Knows how to play is a bonus.
Comes with the territory.
Not afraid to live life.
Yeah.
No narcs. If you only like Korn, or
I said you're out.
He goes!
Or you. Wait a minute. Really?
We have an opt-out.
We have an opt-out, folks.
Whoa.
Here right here at the closing ticker.
Whoa.
What do we have?
That's a buzzer.
Per Mary Kay Cabot, the Browns guard Malcolm Pridgen has opted out of the 2020 season. Their third guard and fifth player overall.
Oh.
Wait, they've lost three guards or he was their third guard?
No, they have lost three guards to opt-outs.
Wow. Trade Tooney.
Trade Tooney to the Browns. Protect Baker Mayfield at all costs.
They will pay a king's ransom for him. Now, how does Malcolm, what's his name? Malcolm Prune?
Pridgen.
Pridgen, okay.
Pidgen
how
with
does,
an R.
Prune? How does Malcolm Pridgen feel about Smash Mouth?
I think he loves Smash Mouth.
Is he available for the Korn?
If he has a positive mental attitude, we don't just play Freak on a Leash and All-Star, but obviously we play those two.
My favorite part of that by far, must have a bass.
Must have a bass.
One would think that comes with the territory.
But also what's important is if you only like Korn or you only like Smash Mouth, it's not the band for you. You need to like them both equally. That's the key. All right, another perfect show in the books. Tomorrow we'll be back. Same squad. It'll be Keith Fitzy, Shime, and John to wrap up the week. That'll do it for us. Stay tuned for OMF.
Alright, way to go. Oh, hey, whoa, did you see that throw, everybody?
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.